Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 31. And this takes place the night of the giving of the Lord's Supper prior to our Lord going to Gethsemane. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I don't know if you had a neighborhood bully in your neighborhood when you were a child. Maybe you were the bully. But I certainly had one in my neighborhood. And when I was about 8, 9 years old, I could see him coming. If I saw him at a park, I would avoid him. I would ride my bike on a different street or a different sidewalk just to get away from him. I probably only had about 3 real confrontations with him, but his reputation preceded him. And the few times I ran into him, I found out exactly why he was considered the neighborhood bully. It would have been rather unnerving for me. This never did happen, but it would have been rather unnerving for me to come into my house one day at that age and to see my dad sitting at the kitchen table with that bully, having a discussion about me and maybe about how much my dad would permit him to do to me. When we hear this text of our Lord Jesus talking to Peter about the work of the devil and the conversation that the devil has apparently had with God the Father, there's something a little bit unsettling about it, kind of unnerving, to think that the devil goes and talks to God and makes specific requests that have to do with us and our spiritual lives. And to know that there is apparently a certain demilitarized zone, a line of demarcation that he is not allowed to cross, and yet going up to that point can go so far. We see the same thing in the book of Job, chapter 1, where the devil comes before God and makes his requests regarding Job. There's something about that that's just kind of unsettling. Our Lord Jesus, here in his words to Peter, lifts the dark veil of mystery that, you might say, covers the unseen, unknown world of the spirits. And he now exposes to Peter exactly the type of conversation and discussion that has gone on regarding him. God would have us understand something from this, that the temptations that we face in life, they're not just little random things that happen and pop up here and there out of the blue, but rather there is a cunning crafting behind them on behalf of the powers of evil. And there is a format by which the devil and the powers of darkness now have to communicate with God to determine exactly where the line is and exactly what temptations might be brought before you. Now, we know the context of this little passage to Peter, how Peter goes on, and that night after receiving the Lord's Supper, he goes off and falls asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus is praying. The mob comes to arrest Jesus, and Peter gets up to defend him, and all of the things that transpire. And then in the courtyard, when Peter denies multiple times that he knows Christ. And we might think about that fall that Jesus is here prophesying about. We might think of that fall of Peter as not being that big of a deal. After all, think how often we kind of, in different ways, deny Christ in our lives. How quickly and easily we can do that, and it doesn't seem like that big of a deal at the time, as long as we seem to kind of bounce back from it. But notice how seriously this is taken by the King of Kings. Notice how seriously those denials are taken by the Son of God. Jesus addresses him with an emphatic double use of his name, Simon, Simon. And he says that the devil has requested to sift you like a kernel of wheat. When you had sifted in a sieve, rigorously shaking it violently, the devil wanted to find out if Peter's faith was actually real. And when we think about Peter from this point forward and the different things that take place and transpire in the hours ahead from this saying, it demonstrates, and he's kind of a living monument, if you will, to our spiritual fickleness. On the one hand, he can stand up and grab a sword and want to defend Christ and in front of an angry mob, but just hours later completely denies that he even knows him. And how that is for me, how fast I can vacillate between being a confessor of Christ and boldly standing up for him before the world, and then letting my sinful flesh get a hold of me and care nothing about him and care nothing about what his word tells me. It's amazing the inconsistency that can go on just inside of the hearts and minds of God's children. Many theologians have asked the question regarding this text, does Peter actually fall from grace at this time? Our Lord's words seem to indicate that he does. So the next question is, well, what about me? What about us? Are there times when we actually leave grace? Dr. Walther speculated that there are probably more times than we would realize and admit. God doesn't want us to take our status of being in his grace for granted and to treat it lightly, but with seriousness. In all the communities where you come from, there are firemen who have dedicated their study and their lives, and sometimes laying their lives on the line, to fight fire and all the destructive forces of fire. And they have studied that and learned how to do that and dedicated themselves to that very cause. And yet there are times when those very same firemen will actually take and start a fire and control it for their purposes. God himself clearly opposes evil and stands in juxtaposition to it. The cross of our Lord Jesus is the greatest example of that, where he shed his holy blood to redeem us from the powers of darkness and evil. And yet there are times when God himself will utilize the forces of evil in a controlled burn, if you will, in a way that will ultimately benefit his kingdom. And when he does that, just as we see here, he will set boundaries and limits to just how far the devil is allowed to go. But in Peter's case, our Lord permits the devil to come and take him for a time. And yet notice how reassuring it is that ultimately Jesus still has the control of everything in his hands. And he also intercedes in the situation so that the devil does not have the final say. It's also very comforting for us to realize just how personally involved and connected our Lord Jesus is with each of our spiritual lives and what's going on in our spiritual lives. How concerned he is about that. How well he knows what's going on behind the scenes, sometimes things that we don't even realize. How tuned in he is to the spiritual challenges that each one of us have to face on a daily basis. And how concerned he is that we remain with him, that we stay loving his grace and forgiveness of all of our sins, that we cherish and treasure the eternal salvation he's won for each one of us. He says to Peter here, I have prayed for you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? To think that the Son of God is so concerned about where you're going to be forever, that not only did he go to the cross and rise again from the dead, the greatest things, but he prays for you. He prays for you to remain in his kingdom of grace. And when Peter is finally restored, we know the story how after the resurrection, our Lord comes to Peter and speaks to him and puts him back into the position of being one of his apostles. Just think how fully and completely he is reinstated. He's not just allowed to sit in the pews. Our Lord puts him right up at the tip of the spear of his kingdom work. During medical school, some of the medical students who are learning to become doctors are assigned illnesses and put into hospitals and checked in for a week so that they can learn what it's like to be a patient. And it's believed that they will benefit from that and be much better doctors. Is it possible that our Lord Jesus knew that Peter needed a humbling and needed to know what it was like to go through losing his faith for a time and then be reinstated to appreciate the treasures of God's grace once again so that in his ministry he could talk very clearly about that to others. Notice our Lord says, "And when you have returned, Peter, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." And so don't be surprised if God someday, through the work of the Holy Spirit, works repentance in your heart and calls you back to his forgiveness and gets you to once again appreciate his sacraments and the joy of being one of his children, and then, sure enough, down the road, finds a way to make use of that in his kingdom as you speak to someone else. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son you have promised us the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. We beseech you by your Holy Spirit so enliven our hearts that in daily prayer we may seek our help in Christ against all temptations, and constantly believing his promise, obtain that for which we pray, and at last be saved. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.